Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
One alive, one dead. One fictional. It's up to you who you choose. You pick them all. It's up to you who you choose. You pick them all. Who you having? Make it who you wish. This is your dinner party. And it's your guest list.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Guest List with Jake Lambert, the podcast where I interview comedians to find out who would be their perfect dinner party guests. But they can only pick three. One has to be alive, one has to be dead, and one has to be fictional. Now, this week we are joined by the very funny Joanne McNally. Before we do that, I am going to read out one email. I've replied to the others, but I thought I'll just do one each week, which is for Pest List, which if you're a new listener, the idea of the podcast is people come on and pick their perfect dinner party guests, and Pest List is where the listener can send in their idea of the worst dinner party guests. So I am just going to find the email. Here we go. Right. Hi Jake, I wanted to write in with my nominations for Pest List. Two of them I've been wanting to send in for a while, and another one is just the bonus for this week. I would like to nominate either Anthea Turner, as this week she came out as an anti-masker and she deserves to be down in the cellar and not allowed to wear a mask. Well, I don't think she'd want to wear a mask. I think that was the point, wasn't it? If you don't know, basically Anthea Turner just did a tweet this week where she, I think it was some sort of cartoon about people shouldn't be wearing masks or something. I don't know. I saw the tweet, I put my phone down and did anything else. But other people were bored at home, so fine. By the way, I'm not an anti-masker. Do wear a mask, but I just can't be bothered to waste my time on that. Sorry, I've really got quite passionate about that. I was trying to suggest I don't really care about what people tweet, but I sort of got angry. Right, fictional. Oh, I like this one. Dory from Finding Nemo. The most annoying character ever written, and I cannot believe she got her own spin-off. And when I say I like this one, by the way, I like that you've nominated her for Pest List. I can't stand Dory either. Such an annoying character. And I watched that film on a plane. Don't know why I did it to myself. Awful. I don't know why. It just irritates me. But I just imagine it would be such hard work to be friends with, like getting lost and just forgetting things all the time. Ugh. Good shout. And for dead. Oh, no, not for dead. Right, dead. I didn't want to speak ill of the dead, so I've nominated Zack Snyder. Okay, don't want to speak ill of the dead. Absolutely fine with the living. Right, Zack Snyder. Oh, for Batman vs Superman. Yeah, I don't watch those films. The only comic book films I watch are Spider-Man and Batman. I know Batman's in this, but only the good ones. The Zack Snyder films and stuff don't really bother me because I just don't watch them. So I'm going to go for Dory, sorry, from Finding Nemo because, yeah, does my head in. So, yeah, she can go down in the basement. I'll provide some water for her, but I don't hate her that much. But, yeah, she should be in there. Correct. Good shout. Now, despite what I said at the start of the episode, oh, by the way, if you want to write in, it is guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. Now, at the start of the episode, as I do at the start of every episode, I say that people come on and pick their perfect dinner party guests, one alive, one dead, one fictional. And then Joanne McNally came on and sort of did her own thing. But it's very fun. It's very funny. We had a great time. So please enjoy my conversation with Joanne McNally. Are you in London now, or are you in Ireland?
In London. I was back in Ireland for about 4 months for lockdown. I went back for work, and then because of the 2 week quarantining thing, I kept getting, I was lucky in the sense that I can do telly at home. I'm not quite doing telly in the UK yet, but I can do it at home. And that's the only thing that's still on for us. So I went home.
I went home
to do that kind of stuff, and then just kind of got stuck there in my mother's house, which was actually really nice. And then came back here a couple of weeks ago.
Is that Galway?
Dublin.
Let's see how my research went.
Galway. Where did you, what have you been reading?
Oh, I've got no idea. Honestly, is it Galway?
Who do you think I am, Jake?
Thanks for being here, Aisling. This is a really...
No, I'm the poor man's version of Aisling B, remember?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I thought Galway. I don't know why I thought that.
It's Galway.
Galway.
Unless you're from Galway and then they say Galway. But like, it sounds quite like Gael, which is a Limerick word for asshole, the way you say it. So it's Galway. If you're going to get an Irish accent, you need a Dublin accent, Jake. So I'm just back in my attic room in Clapham.
Oh, you're in Clapham?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in Battersea. We should have just met up.
Are you? Are we allowed? What are the rules over here? I don't even know anymore.
We can go for a walk.
You're dragging people to hotels and stuff. That's what I've seen.
Oh, yes. What, the quarantining?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like your friends had been doing that with guys they'd met in the park.
One of my housemates is a sexual psychologist, and we were talking about this kind of like single people sex lockdown, and she was saying to me, everyone's riding in cars and stuff, and she said syphilis is higher than it's ever been.
I mean, in the back of Ubers, because they've got that clean sheet. Maybe that's why they've got those plastic sheets up now.
Yeah, it's like you're going to be murdered. Or what's it called? The money shot. Is that what the cum shot's called at the end?
I mean,
I'm pretending you don't know. What's porn? Something like that. Baby Jake, I don't know. You know. It's always the innocent looking ones that are probably the darkest.
Stop trying to destroy my brand.
Yeah, but you do have a very innocent, like, brand. You do come across like you wouldn't say boo to a ghost, which suggests you're a dark satanic motherfucker behind closed doors. You've probably got women tied up with sellotape in the wardrobes there and stuff. Can't hear them crying in the basement.
Oh, I can't afford a basement.
Your house looks gorgeous.
Oh, thank you very much.
Are you one of those lads who has like one fork, one cup? Or are you quite domesticated?
No, I'm quite domesticated. Oh, okay. I've got, if you want to see them all, they're probably in the sink behind me. So I'm not that domesticated. So, Joanne.
Yeah, sorry, go on. Hit me.
No, sorry. It's me. Because I've realised, look, by the way, what happened to everybody so you're aware of how lovely Joanne is being. We tried to record this. I think this is the fourth day that we've tried to record, but we've always had something come up. Yesterday, we decided that we would do 11 a.m. Monday morning so that we could just get our day going. And Joanne was messaging me saying, are you going to say that? Is it Zoom? Is it like camera on? Asking a lot of questions, which I was impressed with, thinking, oh, she's very organized and she wants to know she gets it right. And then at 11:30, as I logged in, I realized that I'd said 11 and Joanne had just been sat here for half an hour while I just...
Sitting here burning under the ring light waiting for the Zoom link.
I hung out my washing. I made a cup of tea. I've been sat there reading up on Galway.
Where did they get that? That is so funny.
I don't know. I need to just go back and see whether they made it up or I made it up.
Like, I've gigged in Galway. Like, maybe, I've done shows in Galway.
Yeah, maybe the Galway Times or something did an interview with you and I just sort of read that. And thought, I can't imagine Joanne's big anywhere outside her hometown, so she must.
You're like, who's the really good interviewer? Who was your man?
I think. Oh, thank you. Oh.
I don't know. Parkinson?
Parkinson.
No, I think he's still going, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a good idea for a podcast, Alive or Dead? And then you have to guess. I'd say it's probably already exists.
Is he still going? Yeah, wow, he's 85.
He's 85?
Yeah. He should still be working, really.
What's the... Is there a certain age you have to retire in the UK?
I don't think so. I guess if the Queen still goes, her husband's still going. Is that work?
That's just... I'd call them professional fanny arounders. They're just fannying around.
Right. I mean, what do we do?
We have an incredibly strong work ethic, Jake. I drank a bottle of wine last night after the live show in about 7 minutes from relief that it was over and dragged myself out of bed this morning to be at the desk for 11. Like, I've wine spilling out my eyes and I was like, no, this is Jake. Do it for Jake. Do it.
I was being so... With the replies as well, you were like, is the camera on? And I was like, we can leave it off if you're hungover. Like, it's fine. I was being so, like, dismissive of your questions.
You weren't taking the bait, basically. I was going, Jake, where are you?
Oh, God. Did we find out if Dead or Alive is a real podcast?
I definitely remember there was an Irish radio show in Ireland that had a little segment on it. They had a very catchy ringtone, Dead or Alive, Dead or Alive, Dead or Alive.
Sounds cheery.
And I remember thinking it was great crack, but I don't know if there is a podcast, but there should be.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to, you wouldn't want your name to come up as you're driving along, would you? To see your careers going so well, people don't know whether you're no longer alive.
Well, a friend of mine started seeing a guy during lockdown and she mentioned that she was friends with me and he went, yeah, what happened to her? She just disappeared. And I was like, what? I'm working my hole off. Like, what are you on about? I was highly insulted. It's like, yeah, what happened to her? Like, I was some failed Home and Away actress who just, like, dissolved into the abyss.
I did that the other day. I asked somebody about a band. I was like, oh, you don't really hear about this band anymore. And they were like, well, yeah, because of lockdown. And I was like, no, I don't mean in the last 11 months. I understand what's happened. I know why I haven't seen them. I mean, in the longer term, I think it was... I think it was Scissor Sisters. And I was like, they haven't been around for like 10 years, but I was just wondering where they went. I didn't mean, why have I not been to any of their gigs in the last 10 months?
There's two very famous murderers in Ireland called the Scissor Sisters. Have you heard of them?
Oh, no.
When you're doing your research.
from Galway.
From Galway, yeah. Scissor Sisters from Galway. They murdered their mum's boyfriend, I assume, with scissors. They certainly cut him up and threw him in a canal.
Blimey.
Yeah, so that when I hear Scissor Sisters now, they're kind of my reference.
I'm trying to do some sort of joke about them being on the run, but they shouldn't be because the scissors, but I can't think what the joke is.
You're a great joke writer. That's something I would love to have more of. I don't have that, really.
You write jokes, don't you?
Accidentally. Like, I'll accidentally write and go, oh my God, I think I just read a joke. But no, I don't write, like, I don't.
Joke jokes.
No, I don't. I'm more kind of a storyteller, I think.
Yeah, but maybe that's the Irish in you.
Yeah, maybe. But I find that your show would be more bulletproof. Like, I'm very... My success on stage is very dependent on if they like my personality or not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but that's nice because they get to know more of you.
Yeah, but there's kind of that debate of, like, you know, when people go to comedy, and obviously it's so subjective, but I think people like to see themselves reflected back. So that's why I think comedians who deal in very general themes do very well. Whereas if a comedian is going into massive detail about their own life, you know, if it's got the same longevity. Also, the danger is that, like, you keep having to do all this mad shit.
But I guess it depends on what the audience are after, because up in Edinburgh, and maybe it's changing now, but people do want maybe to sort of learn about somebody's life and sort of have, you know, for example, you had your show... what was your first hour?
Oh, Bite Me. It was about bulimia.
Bulimia. Yeah. So it's about a thing. And then the other one was the wine one.
Yeah, go on. What was it called?
Like, I remember
it. You said you did research. I didn't. Like, did you actually do any research?
I look for three key things, which is who you like that's alive, who you like that's dead, and who you like that's fictional. But anything around that just sort of really does go in the back, and I don't really collect it at all.
So the second show was Wine Tamer, and then the
Wine Tamer. I got it was two words. And I got one of them right.
Yeah, no, it's good. And then the third one was the Prosecco Express.
So you've clearly got a sort of a
eating disorder and a drink problem.
Yeah. And thanks for coming on. So that was Joanne. We
the Bite Me, the first one was just a show I'd done in the Dublin Fringe, and it was just useful to just carry it over. It was more also that year to do a recce. And you know the way the Edinburgh thing is, you have to make a decision at some point in your Edinburgh career. Are you going to go up with a heavily themed show every year talking about mental health, or are you just going to go up and have the crack and just be funny? Or, you know what I mean? It's that thing of like, do I want to win awards and present a very dramatic like arc where you know, I talk about a near-death experience, or I talk about being fucking whatever, like whatever these heavily themed shows are, or do you just go up with a funny hour and try and park all that stuff? And that's what I've decided to do.
Joanne,
yeah,
do you throw a lot of dinner parties?
I go to a lot of dinner parties.
I can imagine.
I love a dinner party. Like, I really, really do. Because they're always great crack. I love chatting. So clubs and stuff.
Really?
That part of my life. I don't even know who you are. You just came through on the Skype and I'm just chatting away.
It's like chat roulette for you. Next one.
Yes. Exactly, yeah. But so, like, my clubbing days are gone now, and dinner parties are a very intense chat, and I'm quite full on. And that's why they suit me down to the ground, because you can really get some one-on-one time. And I love a good dinner party. Like, I love a fascinating person or someone with a cool job. Like, the reason I took the room in this house was because one of the housemates is a sexual psychologist. And I needed the train. I needed to be close to Gatwick. But also, I'm curious, you know. I love kind of like gleaming.
And did you move into this place during lockdown?
No. I'm here about 2 years. But I do love to go to a good dinner party. I'm not a cook. I get no crack out of cooking.
Right, okay.
It just feels like so much effort for like 3 seconds of tasting something. It's not really my bag.
Yeah, I think you're too busy for stuff like that. Just in your mind.
I don't have the attention span for it.
No, I can't imagine. I imagine you'd struggle your attention with a microwave meal.
100%.
Get us in there. Go up and run a bath.
The amount of times I've opened the microwave and there's a bowl of something rotting in there, and I'm like, oh God. And everyone knows it's me. Like, the reason, this is so true. Like, I know my food's done because there's like a fire alarm going off in the hall. It's like that. So a dinner party wouldn't really be for me now.
No, okay. Yeah. But do you prefer going out dancing or staying in now for dinner parties and just at the pub?
Pub and dinner parties. I think my dancing days are over.
It's much more fun, isn't it?
So much more fun. Because it's the dancing thing. I do love dancing. I love a good festival. I think I still have a couple of festivals left in me.
I guess similarly, I think someone was asking me the other day about comedians and whether we sort of are big drinkers after shows and stuff. And I was like, actually, we sort of condense it to the Edinburgh Fringe. And we say we're going to have 3.5 weeks where we'll sort of do it all there, which is what a festival is, basically, isn't it? A festival is going to be as good as about 10 nights out together.
Yeah.
In one weekend. Much better.
Yeah, I did. I've hit a pretty heavy in Edinburgh. But weirdly,
yeah, I saw that.
Not...
new way I'm starting to do this, so I'll go into it. Oh, Joanne, there's been a knock at the door. It's the first guest arriving. Mm-hmm. It's your alive guest.
Yes.
So who's at the door?
I've decided I want more than just three. So I've multiple options for each one.
Right, fine.
I've got my own rules, okay? My live one, three live ones.
You've got three live ones. Right, I guess it helps for me with my guessing.
Do I not tell you who they are now?
You tell me who you are now, and I'll tell you at the end who I guessed.
Oh, okay. So three live ones. Russell Tovey.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I fancy him and I can't accept that he's gay. I just won't accept it.
He's a very good everyman, isn't he? He's sort of in the Martin Freeman-esque of he's going to be your best mate.
He's cooler than Martin, though.
Martin's really into jazz, isn't he? So Martin's cool in his own way, but I know what you mean. He's a bit trendier.
He's a bit trendier. He's ridiculously hot. He's just ticks all my boxes. Homosexuality, it's a problem, but I'm hoping. He did an interview recently, I think, in The Guardian. He said his dad wanted him to get conversion therapy when he was younger. And I was like, dad should have pushed for that, in my opinion.
You there in the comments. Have you met him?
No. I'm like, conversion therapy, I know it's not right, but maybe one for the road. One for the road with Russell. Bring him over to my side of the street.
I met him very briefly in the streets in 2010, but it was only, I think him and her must have been around about then, and he would have obviously been in Gavin and Stacey.
What?
Playing. Yeah, he was, because he was one of the History Boys, wasn't he, with James Corden. So they use all those lot. The original History Boys were like... their mates in Gavin and Stacey. So I'm sure he was, he would have been around, I would have known him. And then I just sort of turned the corner and he was there. And I just sort of did the, oh, hi, like pathetic. Because it was just like, I think for a second I must have thought, oh, I know this guy. Because he's got that about him.
There's something, I think the reason I'm so attracted to him is he kind of looks like the kind of guy if he wasn't super famous and if he wasn't gay, there's a lot of ifs here, but you'd actually maybe have a chance of scoring. Like, he's good looking, but he's not.
Yes, he doesn't act like he's good looking.
Yeah, he just seems kind of like your hot, normal guy. But I had this thing that apparently London Hughes said in her show as well, so I can't really do it anymore. Although I was never doing it on stage, but I was looking for like guys, funny guys to fancy. That's like one of my main games. I'm like, who will I fancy?
Right.
You always want to have someone you kind of have a crush on, because crushes are great crack. And I was like, oh yeah, funny guy, your man who presents SNL, I can't remember his name. He hosts one of the segments. Anyway.
Oh,
I was like,
yes. There's two of them, right? Is he the one that's going out with Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, what? I was like, oh my God, if funny man at his physical level are married, and when I say physical level, like, he's not a looker, right? Is married to Scarlett Johansson. It's just, I mean, come on.
He's good looking in the comedy world, but that does not mean good looking.
But funny eclipses everything. For women,
right.
I think. But for me, certainly, like my last boy, like they could, I used to do stand-up on him, I'd say he'd have had like a monster munch. Do you know those crisps?
Yeah, which I've always thought they were like a monster's footprint, but apparently recently, because they can stand up almost on their feet, that they're supposed to be like a monster and that's its head. So they could they're the actual monster. I thought it was a monster's foot.
I always knew it was the monster's head.
Ah, oh, clever. See, I never realised that.
There you go. We obviously have a better education system in Ireland.
We have a look at the world upside down. I used to think, actually, you know, this is insane. I can't even see how I would see it now. But you know, the sign for dairy milk is the two glasses of milk like pouring in. I used to call them the shoes that don't fit properly, because I used to think it was two white legs in some weird sort of cylinder shoes rather than the glass pouring milk.
I think this is your epileptic brain. I do. There's a wire going in a different way in your head, and so you're seeing everything upside down and back to front. One of those kind of print cards that psychotherapists show to people.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's got like it looks like a moth or something.
What do you see? Yeah, I'd love to know what you'd see.
Shoes that don't fit properly. Okay, first guest, Russell Tovey, because you fancy him.
Yeah.
Is this going to be the theme throughout?
Yes.
Okay, second live guest, yeah.
Second live, it's Colin Farrell, because I fancy him too.
Right.
And I'm single, and I'm going to look after, I'm going to look after my interests there.
Yep. Colin, how old is Colin Farrell now?
He's in his 40s, mid-40s.
He's had a funny career.
Seems so sound and charming. And I reckon I could probably, if I got him back on the booze, because I think he's off it.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
If I got him back on the booze and played the Irish card, I reckon I'd get the tongue in there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Lovely. That's good. I don't think lockdown's affected you at all, has it?
Well, I mean, I'd ask consent if that's what you're suggesting.
Getting you cancelled on my podcast. That's why I've started this podcast. Individually get every comedian cancelled. Then when it's over, I'm the only one going.
That's an amazing plan.
And what's Colin Farrell's big role?
Sorry, go on.
Oh, no, because I remember him being the bad guy in Minority Report.
Yeah. No, was he the bad guy in Minority Report? He was the good guy.
I thought he was the bad guy.
This is your epileptic brain. He's a good guy.
Oh, I should rewatch it. Yeah, okay. And he was in Bruges.
Yeah, so he started in like this kind of very whimsical Irish show called Ballykiss Angel.
I loved Ballykiss Angel.
I'm genuinely blown away that you have ever seen, heard of Ballykiss Angel. Like, I didn't even watch it.
Oh, did you not? It was really, no. It used to be on a Sunday over here. I couldn't tell you anything about it apart from it was on a Sunday and I really liked it. I think it was just homely, made me feel safe.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of like soup in a show, you know?
Yeah. But I never realized Colin Farrell was from that.
So Colin Farrell, who I've kind of suggested. I have so many bloody phones at the moment.
You picked up a phone because another one went off. How many have you got there?
Two. I've got an Irish one and an English one.
Oh, yeah, because you sent me your...
Texted you.
I didn't ever say text or sent.
You just did a typo with your own mouth.
You
Jake, please,
sent...
I trusted you.
You sent me your Irish number because you don't know your English number.
Yes, I don't know it. It's like, I'm too old to be learning new phone numbers, you know.
That's a line you would like turn a guy down with at a bar. Can I give you my number? I'm too old to be learning new numbers now.
The phone is full. I couldn't be arsed deleting anything. Sorry.
So two people have turned up for Alive.
And my third Alive is Dolly Parton.
Great. Yeah. So she'll be there for the other 9 to 5, I'd imagine.
Exactly. Excellent. You see? Boom.
She's had a very good year. Didn't she help fund the vaccination trials or something? And she's got a good podcast.
The Dolly Vaccine. She's got a great podcast. She's just old school show business sound. Like, I'd say she's very kind to people. She's, you know, it would be Dolly or Cher.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah. Right.
I'd say Cher's a little sassier, but I love that kind of very wise older woman who'll talk you through all your heartbreaks and give you advice. And that's what I'm into.
It's very impressive, isn't it? When you think of two people like that, who you assumed would sort of just, you know, be living their life that people their age would be, but actually they managed to stay relevant. Like Cher on Twitter is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And Dolly's got this, Dolly Parton has the podcast. Is it Dolly Parton's America?
Yeah. There was a big interview with her recently I read. I think it was the Sunday Times. And she just sounds fantastic. And she was talking about Jolene, and she was saying that, like, at the time, because the song would suggest that she was being kind of sound about Jolene. And she said Jolene was a woman who worked in the bank, and her husband, she was flirting with her husband, and this was all true.
Wow.
we're behind the till in a bank or behind the desk. I'm like, anyway, she said at the time she wanted to punch Jolene in the face. And I was like, okay, now we're sucking diesel. She's a real woman now.
Yeah, right. Instead, she sort of wrote
she's
a song
all
about
the real
her.
Feelings you would feel in that situation.
And didn't she write Jolene and 9 to 5 and not the same day?
She's so talented. I didn't know that now, but it wouldn't surprise me. She can kind of do
right,
anything.
Right, I better Google it because I might have just made it seem... But I'm pretty sure she said, right, 9 to 5, Dolly Parton and Jolene. Yep, she wrote it in the same day. There you go.
Oh, my God.
What a woman.
Iconic. Iconic. She really is.
So there's another knock at the door. And now I assume there's how many people are going to be there this time?
Four.
Okay. There's a knock at the door. There's four people there. Yeah. Who's the first one you see?
These are fictional ones, are they?
No. Sorry. This is Dead. Sorry.
Dead is only two.
Dead is two. That's fine. I mean, is it fine? It's broken the rules anyway, but fine. We're off. So two dead people at the door, but they're alive now. Yeah,
they're alive
in this sense.
They're not looking great, but they are alive.
So there's a knock at the door. Open it. There's two dead people there. Who have we got?
Nora Ephron.
Should I know who that is?
I don't know. I don't think you'd know. She's a female. Well, obviously she's female. She's a writer. So she wrote Sleepless in Seattle. She wrote When Harry Met Sally. She wrote You've Got Mail.
Wow.
She's fantastic. And she has amazing books. She wrote this book, one of my favorite books, called Heartburn. Her husband in real life, when she was pregnant, left her for someone else. And she wrote a very, very funny, you know, seriously autobiographical, but fictional book about it. And it's one of the funniest books. And she'd be very famous in that world. And I love reading female writers, so I'm obviously a huge fan of hers.
When did she die?
Early noughties.
Oh, right. Oh, wow. Oh, so at least she got to see her success.
Oh, yeah, she did. It's actually not even early noughties. It wasn't that long ago that she died. Let's Google it.
I love You've Got Mail. And Dave Chappelle's in it, isn't he? Which I didn't realise until I watched You've Got Mail about a year ago. And Dave Chappelle plays his mate in it. He's Tom Hanks' friend.
Wow. That's
which,
crazy.
It's such an odd side career Dave Chappelle's got, because then he also appeared in A Star Is Born. He's Bradley Cooper's mate in it. He just appears as people's friends.
I don't know if she did write. Nora Ephron, she died in 2012. Best known for romantic comedy series, romantic comedy films. She wrote Silkwood, Sleepless in Seattle, When Harry Met Sally, Julie and Julie. Oh, sorry, I'm wrong. She didn't write. She did. She directed You've Got Mail.
Oh, blimey. Because yeah. Was Rob Reiner directed When Harry Met Sally, I think?
Yes, because I watched a documentary about it and they were talking about how they came up with that orgasm scene and stuff. It was brilliant.
Oh, yeah, because that's his mum, isn't it? It's Rob Reiner, the director's mum, who says that. I'll have what she's having.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely choice. Right, I'm going to have to write. What is her name? Sorry, Nora Ephron.
Nora Ephron.
And second dead guest.
I don't know if you're going to know this one either. Maeve Binchy.
Why do I know that name?
She's a very famous Irish writer. She wrote Circle of Friends, which was probably the most famous thing. Circle of Friends.
I don't know if that's the one I know. I know her, and unless the reason I know her is because you mentioned her in an interview that I googled. I know something she's written has come into my life recently, and I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is? It's just the style of her books all look the same, and they just look like, yes, right. I just know her from that, I think, without even knowing.
She's gorgeous, and she was just such a funny, amazing woman and writer, and like just so humble and kind. And she's from where I'm from. So I used to serve her when I worked in the pub. She'd be in every day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And she, like, if you liked Ballycus Angel, like, you'd love Maeve. It's all just really, she's an excellent writer, but it's quite like homely and soothing and warm and soupy again.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's another knock at the door. This time now, as we know, there's going to be four people here waiting for us. They're all fictional. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Samantha Jones from Sex and the City.
Yes, okay. Samantha's the one that's not coming back to do the reboot.
Yeah.
Okay,
best,
yep.
In my opinion, one of the best characters ever written.
High praise, great. I love Sex and the City, by the way.
Amazing.
I'm just watching Succession, but I want to go back and start binging Sex and the City again.
I watched it all again during lockdown. It's just so good, like so, so good.
And it's,
I don't know. People say it hasn't stood the test of time. Maybe I'm just like a racist homophobe, but I thought it kind of did. Like,
right.
there's parts of it that you think, yeah, it definitely, like there's an episode where a guy is secretly filming the model he's having sex with, which just wouldn't fly in it, obviously.
Well, the thing is, stuff like that. Well, I mean, I'm not about to defend him, by the way. But what the thing is, that was also bad then. Surely the narrative of that is that he's doing something wrong. It's not like it's not like everything that you saw back then was completely acceptable. Even if you watched, a film about the Yorkshire Ripper, it doesn't mean that back then everyone was going, this was absolutely fine, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess they didn't really make a thing out of it.
Oh, okay, right.
They did.
Right.
They didn't flag it as like, this is bad. And in fact, Carrie watches some of them smoking with him.
Oh, okay, yeah. But I mean, surely this isn't a good thing to do. Or they're just going, men, like, boys will be boys.
Yeah, there was a bit of that.
I was watching an episode of Friends the other day, and there was a bit where Monica it's her 30th birthday party, and she's drunk in her bedroom. And I think Chandler says to Rachel, will you go and sort her out? She's drunk and passed out. And Rachel says, okay, but a passed out drunk woman lying on a bed sounds more like a job for Joey.
Oh my God.
It's insane that was everyone laughed. That's like a light, funny line. Joey, what is he like? What is he like? Right. Okay. So that's the first of four. Second one behind Samantha is
Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids, her character Megan.
Very funny.
Very funny. Such a great movie. So funny. Yeah. And it would think, is it Kirsten Wiig or Kristen Wiig? Kirsten Wiig?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be her, like she wrote it with Anna, one of the other women in it, but it was supposed to be her big kind of break. As in, she's already broken, but when I watched it, she Melissa McCarthy just steals every single scene. Every single scene.
She's phenomenal.
Unreal. Yeah. Yeah, I love her.
And she's had the classic sort of comedy actor arc, unless she had this career before that, I don't know. But she's gone on to be like Oscar nominated, which is such a classic American comedy actor move, isn't it? But is it Kristen Wiig? She had she was like in everything around then, wasn't she? Yeah. She just kept on up, and she had like a bit part in maybe, was it Ghost Town or something with Ricky Gervais? And everyone was sort of, she's one of those people like Melissa McCarthy, where you put her in something and they're just going to make it funnier for you.
100%. Even just her facial expressions and everything, she's excellent. But she didn't stand a chance against Melissa. You just don't.
Great shout. Mm. And third?
So, I can't have one of these without the other because they're my two favourite kind of telly duo pair. Jonathan Creek and his assistant, Maddie Maglin. I am a super Jonathan Creek fan. I'm a super fan.
I love Jonathan Creek. What's your favourite episode?
Ooh! Maybe the supermodel who was seen walking down the road after she blew up in a shed.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. There's so many bits of Jonathan Creek that have stayed with me all my life. If I wake up in the night and I go to grab my glass of water to have a drink, I always picture the alarm clock being behind it. Do you remember when the guy saw the time at the wrong time? And that's why he didn't understand that he heard the noise before the explosion or something had happened. But it's because his alarm clock was through his glass. So he thought it was like 2:20, but really it was like 5:20 or something like this. And then I love the one where the art, the painting is in the door. An absolute classic.
They're just so good. And I loved Caroline Quinton in it. I don't know what happened. She said, I read in an interview before that she left to have a baby and then they just never brought her back. But she was hands down the best in that, as his sidekicks went, like she was just so, and I loved their dynamic and I loved, it's so 90s and I love her little flat and her landline phone and I adore Jonathan Creek. Adore.
I haven't watched it for years. Did he live in a windmill?
Yes, he lived in a windmill and he wrote for Adam Klaus. Was that the magician?
Yes, right, yeah. Because it's a sort of thing where we just grew up, we just watched it for what it is. And then it's the sort of thing where if you try to explain that series to an American, you go, no wonder they see us as being so quaint and quirky.
Well, they tried to make it work in America, they couldn't. They made two. Apparently, Alan Davies was due to do one of them with Whoopi Goldberg.
No way.
Yeah. And it just didn't work. And then,
well, what's backwards there is he should have been the assistant. You can't have someone that big being a sidekick to a guy that they don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to tell them how to do their job, although it didn't work. So maybe I am.
Didn't work. But the first time I met Alan Davies, I was gigging. I was on a lineup with them at the Cat Laughs in Kilkenny. And I was proper starstruck.
But Alan Davies as a comedian has sort of passed me by. I don't really know much about his career apart from QI.
Very good. He's very
really
good. Like, yeah. Because I when I gigged them, I was like, I had no idea what he's like as a comic because I only know him from Jonathan Creek. He's also really sound. And we went for pints after. I was like, Joanne, play it cool. Just don't say anything about Jonathan Creek, you know, just like treat him as an equal, you know. You're on a lineup together now, peer to peer. I was like, hey, here's go. And I was like, I love Jonathan Creek, I'm a huge fan. Like, oh, okay, thanks.
Do you know what? Actually, I thought I would do, because what I've ended up doing is talking to people about their perfect dinner party guests. Usually one alive, one dead, one fictional. I think we've had three alive, two dead, four fictional. Yeah.
Yeah, but I did. You see now, I couldn't have Jonathan Creek turn up on his own.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, fine. I'll give you that one. The others you have just decided to break the rules.
Yeah.
So what I thought I would do, and it works quite well with this episode, is I've got some quick fire questions just so we can help to build a picture of what we can imagine your dinner party would be like. So it is, I think, seven, one, two, three, four, five. So seven questions you can just answer quickly and it will sort of just build an image of what we're going to get from a Joanne McNally dinner party.
Cool.
First one, quite obvious, okay. Wine or beer?
Wine.
Starter or dessert?
Starter.
Signature dish?
Chicken.
Not a dish, but fine. Music or games?
Oh, I'd have music while we're eating and then games after. I'm basically a charades shark. I kind of make out that I'm really shit, but I'm excellent.
Oh, really? Do you want to play a game now?
Yeah.
Okay, right, okay.
Okay.
Three words. Film. First word. Two syllables. First syllable. Sleep. Sleepless in Seattle. We'd be a good team.
Yeah, we'd be a great team. Yeah, I'm a total games nerd. I love all that kind of stuff.
Right, we're going to go games over music because I think it's fine to have music while they're eating, but afterwards, the entertainment, games. Love it.
Yeah.
Culture or politics?
Culture.
Good. Singing or laughing?
Laughing. Oh, God, if anyone made me sing it, like, oh, my God. When someone's like, honestly, I threw a friend out the window, like, not physically. I was like, I can't be friends here anymore because he kept whipping out a guitar at parties and singing with his eyes closed like your man.
Oh, my God, I feel sick. Oh,
don't
dear.
Put me through that. Don't put me through. It's so rude.
It's how do they not know that when they close their eyes, everyone is sticking their middle fingers up at him and calling him.
I know, it's so bad. It's
and last one, hangover cure.
Ooh, dipping Monster Munch into Lucozade. Or bananas apparently are great.
But yeah, bananas are apparently great, but you dip Monster Munch into Lucozade.
I dip it into red wine. I dip them into wine and eat them. That was my real lockdown low. That was my lowest point in lockdown.
Right. For format, we have to move on to where I do the who I predicted for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Ooh.
This is from my research, which, as we know from Galway, did not go well. Okay. Alive, I went for Tina Fey.
Very good. I did consider her. That is really good. Yeah.
She was up there, right? But although, yeah. but didn't make it into a list of three people. But that's fine.
I was trying to get my mojo back. I was trying to get my sex life back with the live ones.
For dead, I couldn't think of anybody for you. And I tried. So I ended up coming up with Amy Winehouse. Just because I thought you'd probably get on.
I think I'd get on with her, yeah.
Yeah, I think you had a good night. Fictional. Now, I was quite lazy in this one in that I've actually broken the rule as well. I went for two people because I wasn't sure. Mm. I either went for Goldie Hawn's character in First Wives Club.
Oh, my God. These are, wow, this is excellent. I mean, it's not right you didn't win, but like, great. I'm a huge Goldie Hawn fan.
Yeah. Well, that's your favourite film, isn't it? First Wives Club.
First Wives Club and Death Becomes Her is another.
Death Becomes Her. Yeah. You know, if you Google that, that comes up as a Google information thing. If you Google Joanne McNally's favourite film, it says they're our two favourite films. So I didn't have to do much of a deep dive for that. Yeah. And the other choice I went with, and it's quite lazy, but I literally just wrote Sex and the City, thinking that you'd pick somebody from Sex and the City.
And you were right.
Half a point.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I guess even a full point. I mean, it was somebody from Sex and the City, Samantha. I mean, I should have even known Samantha. I don't know how, that's just lazy of me. That's just Monday morning me not thinking. If I had put even a second thought into it, I would have known it would be Samantha, of course.
That's incredible. You're like, what do you like? You're like Rain Man.
Flo calls me Rain Man. That's why I'm with her, because I've got I can do a thing where I can remember the foods I've eaten on certain dates and stuff. And so when
not the time of a Zoom call.
I can literally tell you that I ate brie in 2006 in December the 15th, but I cannot tell you that the time I texted you yesterday has completely slipped my brain.
What a useful ability you have.
Right. Now we have a very tough decision to make, Joanne. Mm. I'm building the ultimate dinner party. Each week I pick one of my guests' choices to go through to the ultimate dinner party with the help of my guest. So we now have to go through all of your choices to find out who we're going to choose to come to the ultimate dinner party.
But I need to know who's at the dinner party because I need to know who of my guests is best suited.
Very good point. Okay, here we go. We have Charlie Chaplin.
He doesn't say, he's a mute. Okay, go on. He's going to be shit crap.
Great at charades.
Great at charades, yeah.
Then we have David Brent.
Oh, yeah, great.
Victoria Woods.
Love her. Yeah.
Then we have... oh, no. I can't remember who we sent through in Tom Allen's episode. It was a... I think it was a famous author. Or was it Delia Smith? It was either...
Famous author, she wouldn't like you to hear that. You'd hear you.
That's true. Oh no, who did Tom choose? It was like a famous British playwright.
Okay, Shakespeare.
Noel Coward.
No, never heard of him. I'll write him down.
Okay, Noel Coward, and we have. Oh no.
Noel Edmonds would be another great one, actually, wouldn't it? I don't ask me how I ended up watching Noel Edmonds, Mr. Blobby clips. I don't know how I got there. It was a lockdown, you know, a lockdown thing. He is, Mr. Blobby, I'm sorry, is hysterical. Hysterical.
I have just the visions of you cracking up at your laptop.
I was rolling around the place laughing. I couldn't. I was like, he's one of the greatest physical comedians of our time.
Tell that to Charlie Chaplin. Yeah, you were great, but you got to see who we have now.
I'd much rather hang out with Mr. Blobby than Charlie Chaplin. Come on.
I almost want you to now choose Mr. Blobby. You get another fictional choice. And then the most recent episode, I also can't remember. Oh, yes, I can. So we went for Joanna Lumley.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
Yeah.
So ooh. Who's going to go with those lot?
I know who it is.
Go on.
I would say it's Jonathan and Maddie.
You're right that they can come as a pair. You have found a loophole. I think you might be right. Yeah, I mean, stories shared around that table.
And
if you'd let them speak.
You've enough screenwriters and you've enough, you know what I mean?
You're right.
Jonathan, yeah. Imagine Jonathan Creek trying to talk to David Brent. Come on, amazing.
Oh, do you know what? I in my wildest dreams, I didn't think I'd end up with Jonathan Creek at the dinner party. It's amazing.
Yeah, there you go.
And you're going to be there, of course.
Also, we're allowed to go ourselves. We don't just
you're
drop
what?
Them off. We're allowed to actually attend the party. We don't just drop them off in an Uber.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't just bring them to my door.
Okay, great. Excellent. Delighted.
So there we have it. Jonathan Creek enters the party. And Maddie, of course. Well, Joanne, thank you for coming on.
That was great crack. I really enjoyed that.
I'm so sorry I was late.
It's fine. I've forgiven you. I've moved on. I've parked it.
Where can we find you?
I feel I've learned some stuff as well.
Oh, really? Oh, me too, actually. I've learned about Nora Ephron.
Yeah.
Check her out. And I didn't even realise I was a fan of hers. I'm a fan of her work. Didn't even know who she was. I feel awful. Exactly.
And I've remembered how much I love Mr. Blobby, and I'm going to go and watch some clips now. Oh, what did you ask me? Where could people find me?
Yes.
So I'm mostly hanging out on my Instagram, which is Joanne McNally Comedy. My podcast, Let's Solve Nothing.
Oh, yes. Let's Solve Nothing. And you've got a new podcast coming out. Are we allowed to mention that or not?
With Vogue, yeah. It's called My Therapist Ghosted Me.
It's called Your Therapist Ghosted You. And what is that? Just you two chatting about the fact you've both been ghosted by therapists?
Actually, I was ghosted by my therapist and they just thought that was very funny. They're like, let's call the podcast that. So I was like, okay. I said it on a chat show in Ireland and then the newspaper ran a story saying Joanne McNally jokes that her therapist ghosts her, and I was like, not a joke.
No. Legitimately ghosted. Well, I would ask you about it, but I feel like that's sort of going to be answered in the podcast.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, is with Vogue the person, not Vogue the magazine.
Yes, indeed. Vogue. I don't think Vogue the magazine would be especially interested in me.
They might be if they've sort of Googled you and not watched any of your clips.
Yeah, if the editor is like blind and deaf, I'd say I'm right up there.
Joanne, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks a mil, Jake.
I was too scared to tell Joanne, but Maddie's not invited. It's just Jonathan Creek, just so you know. So that was my conversation with Joanne. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. It was so fun. And yeah, if you want to write in, it is guestlistwithjake@gmail.com. Also, please do subscribe, rate, retweet, tell your friends, and I will see you next week with another episode. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.